Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to talk about singing, particularly singing in church, but Christian music as well. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So today's message is going to be on this verse. It's going to be on singing. And what we're doing in this message today is that we are comparing modern so-called Christian music to the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that are mentioned here in Colossians 3:16 and that are also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. That verse says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." 20 goes on to say, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the purpose of this broadcast is simply to show you the contrast between the scriptural music of the Bible that you see written here in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, and this modern worldly music that you find in contemporary churches and in the contemporary services that have been added to some traditional churches. So we'll get right into the message. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, according to this text, have certain characteristics. And you can see those characteristics based upon what the text says. Colossians 3:16 says, "Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are, first of all, scriptural." Notice, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." You see that? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." So, the songs that are spiritual, that are psalms, that are hymns, they are going to be so connected to the words of God that the words of God are actually going to dwell in you as a result of the songs that you sing. Now, certainly this is the case in the Psalms because they are scripture. You can go and read them in your Bible. There's 150 of them. And we know that those are the words of God because they're here in the Bible. But the word of Christ dwelling in you richly is also true of hymns. Now, there's a number of hymns that we could point to, but because we have a lot of points to cover, we'll only cover a few of them. One of them, for instance, is "Jesus is coming again." Jesus is coming again. You know, hopefully you've been around to remember some of these hymns from being in church at some point in time. I'm telling you, in the modern churches, they're so gone, people don't know some of these hymns anymore. But the hymn goes, "Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again." And then the chorus. And then, "Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will cast, Jesus is coming again." Now let me tell you something. Jesus, the King, because that's what he says here, wonderful word of the King, said that he would come again. That's John 14:3. "All earth and heaven will proclaim," that's Psalm 148, "and we will stand before him and cast our crowns at his feet," that's Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, and Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. So what you're singing here when you sing this song is you are singing reminders of the things that Jesus said and that God wrote in the Bible. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. That song is written to get that word into your heart. Consider another song that is scriptural. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Fabulous song. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, in this particular song, listen to all the verses of Scripture, and I'm not being repetitive. In other words, I'm not dealing with all the verses that are dealt with. I'm just dealing with separate things that are in the song and verses of the Bible that give rise to those words. Listen, I know that my Redeemer liveth covers Job 19, verses 25 to 27, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Psalm 77, verse 8, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, John chapter 14, verse 2, John chapter 14, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 17. Now look at all that scripture that comes out of this particular hymn. It is rich, rich, rich with the words of God. It is a scriptural hymn. In other words, these hymns actually cause the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. So psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, first of all, are scriptural. Secondly, they are wise. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In other words, if you meditate on the words, you see a depth and a richness in the choice of the words and in the way that those words are ordered in the song. In other words, the verses build like a sermon and develop within the hymn to the very glory of God. Take, for instance, this song, One Day. One Day. The song is a ballad or a testimony to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, one day heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as dark as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins. My Redeemer is he. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Do you see how that song built from verse to verse to verse? There's another wonderful song called When We See Christ. It does the same thing until finally the devil is vanquished and Jesus Christ returns to reign. Now listen, these aren't lyrics that were just thrown together to come up with something for the music. Do you understand? These are lyrics that come from the wisdom of God. Somebody spent lots of time thinking of their rhyme, thinking of their meter, thinking of their purpose and intent, carefully choosing the exact word that would build into that song. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are scriptural. They are wise. I'll tell you something else. They are instructive. They are instructive. When the hymns are sung, you are able to learn about the hymns. You are able to learn about the Lord, and you are able to tell other people about the Lord because the songs are instructive. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So they're going to teach you something. They're going to instruct you, and they're going to instruct those around you that hear you singing the song about the things of Christ. Take, for instance, "It is well with my soul." fabulous piece of music, fabulous lyrics that are in that particular song. What the Lord does with "It is well with my soul" is he takes the testimony of a man who had lost his family, and in that brokenness, he writes down, you know what? It's okay. It is well with my soul. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And, Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Listen, you have somebody that comes to your congregation downtrodden, somebody that comes to your congregation lost, and they hear those words of those songs, let me tell you something. They learn. You learn from that song. You learn from "How Great Thou Art," and from "Amazing Grace," and from "The Old Rugged Cross." These are great examples of songs that, when sung as congregational hymns, teach those in attendance about the greatness and wonder of our Savior, of His grace, of His cross. Let me tell you something. The Psalms are particularly instructive because they deal with so much history and so much prophecy. You know, when people are kind of saddened, they go to the Psalms and they begin to read. Have you ever really considered how much prophecy is in the Psalms? How much of the covenants of God are in the Psalms? How much history is in the Psalms? Imagine those Jews during their time of tribulation in the future to come, when they turn to the Psalms and begin to read how they're going to find the mighty works of God in the history of their nation and realize that their Messiah is yet to come. Again, for us, for them, they'll finally recognize that Jesus is their Messiah. Have you ever gone through the Bible and seen the great songs of the Bible? You ought to read your Bible and look for those songs. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 19, the song that the Jews sung right after the destruction of Pharaoh and all of his chariots and army. How about the song of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 43? Or the song of Deborah and Barak in Judges chapter 5, verses 2 through 31. Or the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Or the song of David in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 through 51, where he's praising the Lord. And then we have another great one in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. These are all about the majestic works of God on behalf of His people, and they are loaded with history, loaded with prophecy, and loaded with exaltation of the Lord God. You know what? The characteristics of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are that they are scriptural, they're wise, they're instructive. And that's why they're so good to sing, and that's why it's so sad they've been taken out of so many church services. I'll tell you something else. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, according to this text, are also persuasive. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Look what he said there, teaching and admonishing one another. Well, an admonishment is a mild warning. It's a reproof. And I'm telling you what, there are many warnings in hymns and in the Psalms that urge you to Jesus Christ. That's why during an invitation to receive Jesus Christ, that's why hymns of invitation are so very, very beneficial. You know why? Because what they do is they persuade people to make a decision regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive Him. Almost Persuaded is one of my favorite invitation hymns because it comes right out of the Bible. It is from King Agrippa's response to Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 26. Listen to the words. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today, almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail, almost but lost. I'm telling you, after some really good preaching on the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow up with a hymn like that, how it deals with the souls of men, how the Spirit of God can admonish a lost man. Don't leave here almost persuaded. Almost is but lost. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, in addition to being scriptural, wise, instructive, persuasive, they're also Christ-honoring. In other words, they lift Him up and glorify Jesus Christ and exalt Him. Without going through the lyrics of all these songs, consider the hymn, Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned, or I Sing the Mighty Power of God, or the beautiful song, Ivory Palaces, or the beautiful hymn, What a Wonderful Savior. These hymns, like the Psalms, don't bring Jesus Christ down to our level. They lift our hearts in praise to Him, seated by the right hand of God exalted. I'm telling you what, man, the separation, He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The separation from the things of the world comes by lifting you up, not by bringing Him down. Now, those are the characteristics of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but let me tell you something. We need to, by contrast, examine contemporary songs and see what they're made of and show you that they don't fit Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 at all. Contemporary songs, by contrast, are personal. They are, most of the time, sung by me to you. I mean, if you look at the lyrics, it's I, whenever I'm singing, it's all about me in the first person, and God is always referred to as you, not often do you ever find the word Jesus or God or Lord in the lyrics. It's just, I'm singing to you, whoever you is. The references to God are always you, and the references to the person singer are always I or me. There are personal testimony of an experience with you, and presumably you as God, usually from a person who is hurting, who is weak, who is down, who is sad. And this person is to create the feeling of intimacy between you, that is God, and me, that is this person down here. But the songs don't lift up Christ. They end up bringing Him down to you into this intimate relationship. They are personal instead of being Christ-honoring. I'll tell you something else. Contemporary songs. Now, I'm just telling you, I've looked at the words of lots of songs today in preparation for this particular sermon, but that's all copyrighted material. And like these songs here that I was able to quote the words from that are in the public trust, these lyrics that I can't repeat to you are all copyrighted. And these words I've looked at over so many songs. You know what? They're personal. I'll tell you something else. They're sensual. Since you, that is supposed to be God, and me or I aren't identified, they sound very much like a love song between lovers here on earth. I mean, like a man and a woman. And so the songs recount the result of the experience between you, whoever that is, and me, whoever that is. And it's usually to make you, now I'm speaking to you, feel better. In other words, to kind of get inside of yourself and come away with a stronger self-esteem, to feel empowered, to be encouraged to face another day in your sad, lonely life. The feeling you get is not a feeling that comes from the Spirit of God. It is a sensual feeling. And I'll tell you, when you've got men that sing these songs, they don't sound manly at all. They sound passionate. They sound weak. They sound, it's disgusting. And that's not just a personal opinion. It's just they're songs designed to elicit feelings in you when you hear them sung. That's what the songs are about. And that is sensuality. It comes from a different spirit. It comes from a different kind of wisdom, according to James chapter 3. It is earthly, sensual, and devilish. It doesn't sound pure at all. It sounds like a love relationship between two people down here on the earth. Contemporary songs are personal. They're sensual. I'll tell you something else. They're shallow. There's no depth or wisdom in the words at all. By contrast, the words of God in the hymns are wise. They do teach you and they do admonish you. But there's no depth or wisdom in the words of contemporary music. And they're very rarely ever scriptural words. There may be a reference in a song to something that happened between David and Goliath, or maybe a reference in a song to Christ, to Peter out there on the water. But it's all just a matter of remembering that example so that I can get some personal encouragement to face another day. The words are given with feeling, and that feeling works with the music so that the singer can make music with his voice that goes along with the music that's being played. So what you hear when these songs are being sung is you hear a lot of moans and you hear a lot of sighs and a lot of words that are drug out to sound like another instrument, okay, among all the other instruments that are being played. It's a strange thing. It sounds very much like the rock music that was sung before. In other words, all that's happening with Christian music is it's just lagging behind the current culture, but it is cultural. It's personal, it's sensual, it's shallow, it's cultural. The songs are written to appeal to young people in this generation. So there's a pop culture, there is a rock culture in the music that is simply to take people that are listening to rock music already, put a little Christian twist on it, bring it into a church and say, listen, the same kind of music you like in your culture out there in the world is the same kind of music that we're playing inside of our church here, and we're playing it so that we can appeal to your culture and bring you in. It's cultural. And what you're seeing now is that the artists are, and I'm just quoting the words of one of the artists that was interviewed, they are pushing the music. That is, they're taking it up a notch. You'll hear a musician talk about taking risks with the music. They don't want to go too far and get too close to the, they're already close to the world, but to sound like what they really are, they want to bring that in gradually. And don't you know the frog and hot water thing, you know, can't put the frog in the boiling water, but if you just turn up the temperature gradually, he doesn't realize he's in boiling water. Same thing here with the music. It's just getting more and more sensual, more and more worldly all the time. And you know what it's going to only do? It's just going to get further and further removed from the Lord. So contemporary music now is personal, it's sensual, it's shallow, it's cultural. I'll tell you something else about it. It is performed. It is performed. The music is designed to entertain. So that's why it is always sung by praise and worship bands. There's no way to sing this music a cappella. I've been to funerals and things where somebody tried to sing one of these songs that they've been listening to on their CDs, and I'm telling you, it's disastrous to listen to it without the music, because the music is designed to elicit the feeling. It is designed to entertain those that are listening to it. It is all about the experience. And so the light shows are there, the people are standing, they raise their arms, they turn their hands, they kind of not, you know, put their head back a little bit. It's to get that feeling. It is to get that experience. It is to be entertained by something called Christian. So the music is performed. It is not congregational singing. And I'll tell you one other thing about the contemporary music. It is humanistic. The bands that play it look just like the world. And the men are using men's means to get up a crowd, and they're doing it simply in a church rather than in another concert location. And what's happening is the musicians are doing what they're doing to make money. They are selling music. And like the Corinthians, you end up following men rather than following the Lord. And it's not a good thing. So in our discussion today about singing from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we found that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are by nature scriptural, wise, instructive, persuasive, and Christ-honoring. Contemporary songs, by contrast, are personal, sensual, shallow, cultural, performed, and humanistic. Now, I exhort you at the end of this broadcast to simply do this. Go to your hymn book, if you can even find one. Look at those hymns and compare those words with the lyrics that are in the songs that you love so much. And do your own study through the scripture and see if what you find in your study is not identical to the things that you've heard on this broadcast today. I think you're going to find that what you've heard today is true.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.